The University of Kentucky Federal Credit Union encourages everyone to promote positivity and random acts of kindness in the community with their Take Care campaign. Follow along on social media using hashtag Take Care or visit ukfcu.org/takecare to learn more. UK Federal Credit Union believes everyone has something positive to share. So join us in offering kind words and positivity with hashtag Take Care. Stop by a UK Federal Credit Union branch to grab a mask or button and show off your positive vibes. Masks and buttons are first come, first served and available for limited time only. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast Gator Bowl Bonanza, presented by UK Federal Credit Union. The Cats are starting 2021 in Jacksonville, taking on the NC State Wolfpack, and we're going to talk about it all here on the podcast. I'm Nick Roush with Drew Franklin and Charles Walker. Freddie Maggard will be joining us shortly. Gentlemen, bowl week, it crept up on us. It's Tuesday afternoon. The pandemic kind of made things weird, so we haven't really had a lot of bowl games. We had Liberty Coastal Carolina Saturday night. That was awesome. But we really haven't had much else all bowl season because of the pandemic, and now we're getting 16 games in 5 days, and I can't wait.
You can't wait. Look at me. I'm already in bed. I'm looking at Charles. He's dressed up. He's at some office. I'm podcasting with you guys from the bed because I'm already ready for more football coming up. I'm not moving all week.
It is kind of different, too, not having – like, we're taking the show – like, when we went to the last Gator Bowl, Drew, it was, A, they took Gator out of the name. They just made it the Tax Slayer Bowl, which was very dumb on their part. But, B, I mean, we took everybody down there. There was, like, a crew of seven of us at that bowl game because that was the first bowl game in a millennium. And hell, Chuck was just a fair catch waving little glimmer in our eyes at that time.
I think I did have a one yard return on that. One of those where they kicked it and it was like rolling and I kind of just dove. But by the time I actually had possession of the ball, I fell forward about 1 yard or so. So, I mean, way more than just fair catches, all right?
I actually think that was the first time we actually talked as like human beings and not just like interviewee and interviewer. Cause at Topgolf, it was you, Drew. I forget who all was in your crew, but you all were really good. And you all had like Beatty and a bunch of people who had never swung a golf club before. And watching, watching Derek Beatty, who can't live without talking trash, talk trash and then just completely miss a golf ball. I mean, it was glorious.
Yeah, trust me. I've spent 4 years talking trash back to those guys. And the one time where I was 100% confident that I was better at said sport or said bet that we were gambling or we are betting over, knew I had the Top Golf done when I was watching the swings and both feet moving. You know, some of them didn't know if they're righty or lefty. That was cake.
Oh, Nick, man. In that story, you cleared something up a little bit. I've been confused. Do I say Tax Slayer Gator together? Do I leave? What is it? Tax Slayer? Is it Gator? What is the proper way we're addressing this bowl?
We used Tax Slayer so much last time that I'm just going full Gator this time.
Okay.
So we're balancing the scales out. And I think that in turn, it will help balance the scales out for Kentucky because remember how that game went? back 5 years ago. It started the bowl streak. It was on the heels of the win over Lamar, where Drew, do you remember that time he fumbled?
Oh, boy, do I remember. Of course I remember.
Yeah. So, like, here's the thing. It didn't really matter what happened in that game because we were just still asking people about that time Lamar fumbled. And then the worst possible outcome, the one thing you can't do against Georgia Tech's triple option was turn the ball over and then play from behind. What happens? I think it was the third play of the game. Steven got strip sacked and they returned it for a touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah. So it was kind of ball game for there. I mean, it was a pretty good job coming back though, Chuck. Dorian had a pretty nice touchdown grab in the end zone. But it was just too little too late because they were doing the knee diving thing and it was just tough sledding.
I still never got or understand when a chop block is a chop block and not. It seems like when you play Georgia Tech or used to, you know, once every 10 plays, all right, chop block on this guy. Well, he's every single one of the linemen does that every play. So how is it, you know, is there a method?
It's like in basketball when you play a team that handshake and hacks. If that's just their defense, it's allowed because they do it consistently. So Georgia Tech, you knew going into the game, it's within the rules when you play them.
I actually was watching an NFL game over the weekend where they called that. And I was like, wait, that still exists? Like, I haven't seen that called in forever. And I think by rule, it's different if you're, like, engaged at the line of scrimmage versus if they're, like, in open space, you can't do it. Either way, it's still crappy because, like, Chuck, what were you all going to do to prepare for that bowl game? Sure, let's just dive at everybody's knees. Like, that's a horrible idea.
I think that's kind of what the defense was doing for a week or so. And there was probably more fights between scout players and starting D, well, 1 and 2 defense that week than there's ever been. Maybe over the accumulation of Stoops' whole career up to that point. Justin, I remember Denzel Ware, like, fighting 4 dudes. And the guys, you know, are thinking, I don't know. Marrow is making me do this. Or Stoops is making me chop. So you can take it out on me if you want. But
did he throw a trash can at him?
Probably.
It's another reason to appreciate the practice players. That's a heck of a predicament to be in right there. Do I want to fight Denzel Ware or get in trouble with my coach who is letting me be here?
Oh, God. That really is stuck between a rock and a hard place. But 5 years removed from that game, Kentucky's in a much different place than they were back then. Instead of selling bowl eligible hats, it's 5 bowls in a row. And the Wildcats are trying to win 3 in a row, the second year in a row against an ACC opponent. And this is a Kentucky team that's kind of in transition right now. Mark Stoops is pretty adamant. He was pretty excited, actually. You can kind of feel he feels like relieved. He's a little bit more upbeat since the season ended. I think some of it was just the pending dread. Like, you know, he likes Eddie Grant. He likes Darren Henshaw. I don't think he was looking forward to moving on from that. But now that there's fresh blood, he's got a guy in Liam Cohen moving forward that he's excited about. It's really a big kind of transition in the Mark Stoops era. I would consider the first 2 years, like phase one, or first 3 years. Phase one, stink, not very good. Phase two, Charles Walker helps the team get to glory. They win 10 games. They go to the Citrus Bowl. You reach a peak, and you have a great year with Lynn Bowden, and now you're in a valley. And it's time to turn the page. And they can do that by winning in the Gator Bowl against a pretty solid NC State team. And the thing about transitions, Drew, is we're in the middle of it. So Liam Cohen isn't here yet. The Rams are actually 0-4 since he got hired. So Kentucky effect? I'm not saying. I mean, they did lose it to the Jets.
I think he's just already focusing on his new roster. He'll get to inherit when he gets here. He was 100% with the Rams to taking the Kentucky job. I'd say behind the scenes, he's much more interested in what we're doing than the Rams. So I'm not worried about them going the other way. I want to emphasize a point you just made about Stoops. That dude has a glow about him right now. From the last time we heard from him before their little vacation to now, he is a brand new person. And I'm hoping that's across the board behind the scenes. We're only hearing from Stoops so far, but I couldn't believe when he talks about the joy around the program right now. You can clearly see it. He does have the transition phase on his hands where he doesn't know which doesn't have his usual offensive coaches for this game. But just from a personality and looking good standpoint, Mark Stoops is rejuvenated.
Oh, he's cracking jokes. He's doing the it's not really a joke, Chuck, but it's like you know, he gets a smile on his face and like makes a little quip, and then you kind of just laugh along with it. He's been doing that. And even there was I guess it was the week before Christmas, Brandon Marcello said like, oh, they're in, you better watch out for Kentucky. They might be in jeopardy of the Gator Bowl. And everybody I talked to was like, no, people are pretty happy to be back after that break. And I'm just curious, Charles, because you've been to bowl practices, and they say that Stoops bowl practices are fun. What makes a bowl practice for Mark Stoops so much fun?
I think a part of it is, you know, you get that little break before. Secondly, you're most likely playing a team that is not on the schedule slash is in a different conference. So there's always kind of that feeling where you've played so many dominant, and I'll say the SEC, the, you know, front sevens, and it goes for both sides of the ball. O-line and D-line, SEC dudes are just huge. And I'm not saying they're not big anywhere else, but when you can kind of scout a different team that doesn't play SEC ball, it's really just a total different feel. I think another big part is definitely the bowl location. So being able to go to Florida, you know, it's always a nice little trip. Granted, hell, I guess most of our guys are from Florida. But when you're going to play in the warm weather and, you know, you're on a vacation, another part off the top of my head would be the, you know, the players are paid to be there. So the walk-ons that, you know, maybe you're playing a lot, maybe aren't playing at all, are now being paid to practice because there's some NCAA rule where when you're not in school and you're at practice, you do get a little bit of money. Always great. And, you know, it's nothing crazy. Hell, you have $300 over 2 weeks. That's kind of nice.
I didn't know that was a thing. I mean, I knew we had the bowl package stuff where it's like, you know, you get your tax layer software or whatever, but like I didn't no idea.
Yeah, so you're paid. It's kind of like camp, you know, you're paid to be at camp, which was always great.
Yeah, the summer camp.
Funny, when you're a walk-on, you're paid more for some reason. I guess, you know, again, one of those NCAA rules. So when I was making that transition from walk on a scholarship, I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Here's a big camp check. And then I got that was like, you know, 1/4 of it. I went, what the hell? I'll just go back to being a walk on. This is bullsnot. But it's really just, you know, the whole feeling that it, going back to the practices, you don't have to worry about school. So the guys that want to be NFL players, it's kind of that one time where the only thing I'm doing all day is football. So whether it's film or practice or lifting, you don't have to go sit in class. You don't have to worry about homework. And as you guys know, when you don't have homework or class, it's a way better feeling than when you do have that lingering over you. And you can just focus more on the team and the sport. So there's a little quick answer.
Covered a lot there.
Yeah, we did. We did. Freddie, how was your bowl difference than your experience different than Charles's?
Smart ass.
I knew Charles wasn't going to.
Yeah, we didn't have participation trophy bowls when I played. You actually had to earn it, so wouldn't know.
How are you, Freddie? Did you have a Merry Christmas?
It was a Christmas.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I really enjoyed your Mark Stoops's list of Santa that you found. That was very enlightening. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I always knew Stoops was a detailed guy, and that really proved it for me.
Yeah, I didn't know him and Vince played with Chris Kringle's cousin Kevin at Cardinal Mooney, and Bob recruited him to Kansas State. That's something I did learn in that article that Scoop Lemon stole. I guess the main thing that on his wish list that I look at is needs a pass rusher. And this game highlights that more than anything. The number that jumps out at me is 117, which is the number of combined tackles for loss and quarterback sacks for North Carolina State. Those numbers are just mind boggling, where Kentucky had 12 quarterback sacks and 50 tackles for loss. NC State has 85 tackles for loss and 32 quarterback sacks. So a lot of action on the other side of the line of scrimmage. I hate this game. I hate this matchup. I don't like anything about it.
Freddie.
Two things that hurt Kentucky. Tempo, offensive tempo has hurt Kentucky.
all year.
And then playing behind the chains, and that's what North Carolina State's defense specializes in. Man coverage, off that 3-3-5, going to press the receivers, Charles. You know what that means. Yeah. I don't like anything about this game other than it's a bowl game and they get some extra practices.
Yeah, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The one time Kentucky played a weird defense like NC State's 3-3-5 was against Mississippi State. And we all remember that game as being a lot of fun because the air raid threw 17 interceptions. But Kentucky won 24-2, mostly on the back of the defense. I think Terry Wilson had 20 dropbacks. 8 of those were completed. 5 of those, he was hit. So, it's not a very good ratio. Kentucky struggled against it. I will say, at least in this instance, Freddie, it's not like a Georgia Tech game where you're preparing for something you're never going to see again. This is something at least like you have film on already, and you're going to have to play it every year, so you might as well try your best to figure it out.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, 3-3-5 it's a unique and a rare defense for a reason. It's not the end-all, catch-all, best invention in the history of defense. But it's used to be diverse. It's used to be attacking, and it's used to counter the spread offense. And, you're going to see – it's going to look like, and people that are analyzing the game are going to say, that's a blitz by North Carolina State. Well, it's not. The linebackers' run fits are similar to blitzes. They come downhill in a hurry. That's a big difference in this defense. Another difference is – Kentucky's going to face an odd front where Drake Jackson's going to have a nose tackle over top of him. Teams have played Kentucky in an even front, meaning that the center was uncovered and the defensive linemen were lined up on the guards. That's going to change. And then NC State will blitz. Now, don't mistake that. They will blitz and play man-to-man coverage. And it's just hard for me to see Kentucky beating man-to-man coverage because I've not seen it in 10 games.
Yeah, and you mentioned the nose that's over top of Drake Jackson. Guy's a second team All American.
Very good player. Very, very good player.
And UK actually recruited his little brother for a little
while.
He ended up at Oregon.
Look at it. I mean, I hate to monopolize the airwaves here, but NC State's ranked 6th in the country in tackles for loss with 85. That's pretty daggone good. So, and then, I would say this. I know a lot of people are talking about the tempo from North Carolina State. They only run 70 plays a game. That's more than Kentucky runs on an average per game by far. But
it's like fifth in the ACC.
Opponents are running 76 plays against North Carolina State. So they may go fast at times, but they're not doing a lot of conversions at times, if that makes sense. My summary on NC State is they beat up on some really crappy ACC teams. Didn't beat the only team that they beat with a winning record was 6-5 Pitt, if I'm not mistaken. But their best wins against Liberty, which is a quality win. I mean, take the logo out of it. Liberty's a quality win. But you know, I've said it, and you all say it, they didn't beat anybody. Well, the sign of a good team is beating teams that you're supposed to beat. NC State did that this year. It's a good, not great team, but schematically, I just don't like the matchup at all.
How funny is it, Drew, that the ACC team's best win is against independent Liberty?
He's not wrong, though. It was a very good Liberty team. But, yeah, when you pull that up, I had it pulled up for the show on the ESPN page. It is not a resume that jumps out at you.
Hey, and on that ESPN page, their FPI, which we all know, FPI, if it says you're going to win, then by God, you're going to win. And they say, I think it's like a 60% chance for Kentucky to win. Vegas likes UK. So there could be an instance where you do have the guys in the trenches. If you feed that rock to Chris Rodriguez, if Terry Wilson can show a little wiggle, you can move the ball up and down on this team. What worries me, though, is kind of like last year's bowl game against the ACC team, thought, okay, Kentucky should be able to dominate front when Bowden's really good. And they did. But the defense kind of got lit up because they weren't used to that offense. And NC State, they got some playmakers. They got a guy, he's not a boom, he's a bam. And he's made some big plays for the Wolfpack this year.
What's a boom, not a bam?
Well, we had a boom. His name is Bam.
Oh, so, you just mean his just the name?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's very similar. He has a kick return touchdown this year, had it against Miami. Real big play home run hitter. I'm sure he has some like cute story that fans have heard in every game this year. Like we heard with Bam jumping on the table or whatever, flip the table. I don't know. Like we're going to hear that during the game. But they got two guys at running back and their receiver. He's a big kid, Freddie. And he's,
yeah,
I'm deferring to you like a jerk because I can't say his name. And I'm sure
you know. Amezi is 6'3", 220. And yeah, then Carter, the other outside receiver, 6'4", 216. That's hurt Kentucky. What I'm concerned with, I mean, those two are dynamic. But the tight end, Angeline, is 6'7", 250, has 27 catches on the year, averages 15 yards per catch, six touchdowns. So, yeah. I mean, what is Kentucky's leading receiver as far as yards per catch? Are the two tight ends right at 12 yards per catch? NC State has three players with more than that at 16.5 for Amezi, 15.5 for Angeline, and 17 yards per catch for Carter. So, yeah, tempo could hurt Kentucky. If this turns into a track meet, it's going to be a lopsided win for North Carolina State. If it's a close game, I think that's Kentucky's chance to win. Because again, I mean, what has Kentucky not done all year? It's not played behind the chains. Third and five plus has killed it. You know, when you're only averaging 5.6 yards per pass attempt, you get third and six, you're not going to get it. So, you know, I know Vince Merrill's calling plays and he got a new set of eyes on preparation. Hopefully that uniqueness, that unpredictability will help. But that won't help receivers getting separation off the line of scrimmage against man-to-man coverage. So Kentucky's got their hands full. I will say this, in my opinion, looking at schedules across the board, the easiest schedule in college football was Louisville's. The second easiest college football schedule in Power Five was North Carolina State. They both dodged Clemson and Notre Dame.
Yeah, they didn't play anybody. They're one tough ACC game, or two, I should say. They both lost to North Carolina and Miami. Miami was a close one. They lost a shootout on like a Thursday or Friday night game. But Freddie mentioned Vince Merrill is going to be offense coordinator. Drew, we got to talk about this. This is – what can we expect from the big dog fence?
Calling it the big dog fence?
I like the big dog fence.
The big dog fence too, Prince.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's make
it. Well, if he had the complete green light, which I don't think he will, it would be nothing but throws to the tight end, and the fan base would love it, even if it didn't work. I still think we'll see a lot more to the tight end, but I noticed in Stoops' comments yesterday, he kind of slid in. It'll be a collaborative effort from the coaches. Already trying to you know, tell me that Vince is sharing the responsibilities. I want all Vince like he's playing Madden. I want a controller in his hand, and it's just him and no one else making these calls.
Yeah, Charles, are you buying that Vince is actually like, you know, I mean, is he going to have that? Does he wear a headset during a game?
Yeah, yes. He wears one.
Okay. I'm just – it's really hard.
Us, Charles, you know, just tell us. How much is he calling the plays?
He's
like, I want Drew. I want 100% Vince on this. I mean, you know, he is one of the best recruiters in college football. But what gets overlooked is he is a technical coach with his tight ends. He's a very, very good tight ends coach. I look forward to his opportunity to call plays. It's the next step in the progression if he wants to become a head coach. And I'm excited for Vince, and I'm excited for some of those young coaches to have input on the game plan. Maxwell Smith, just some of those young guys to get in there and get
Perry,
after him a bit.
Josh, yeah, Mark Perry. Yeah.
Just, yeah, a Justice Waugh is a great quarterback coach, man. He is a bright kid. So I am looking for, you know, again, throw the statistics out of the boat here, because much like how we tried to analyze South Carolina and Kentucky's last game, you couldn't go by the season because they had a whole new team that played against Kentucky. We don't know what this offense is going to look like. I mean, it could be a completely different set of plays that have not been ran very often, or ran from different formations, or ran with more tempo. So we never know. And I'm excited. I think that's what makes this bowl game intriguing. I do think there's two things that are involved. Well, really, one factor decides bowl games. It's the give a crap meter. Which team actually wants to be there? I can tell you right now, Georgia and Florida are going to get the brakes beat out against Cincinnati and Oklahoma, because those two teams want to be there. All the Gators and Bulldogs are opting out.
I don't think the Gators are going to have enough players to play. I think that Dan Mullen might have opted out by now. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, they're all opting out.
Yeah, Mr. Two-Bits opted out too, I hear, even. So I feel like Kentucky will be all in on this. So we'll see, man. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch.
There is something that I actually think, like, that Vince Merrill can add, like, can really help this offense. And that's that, like, Vince is the player. Like, he is the player's coach. He is essentially the liaison between the guys and the head honcho. He diffuses a lot of situations. He is there for them. And I think a lot of Terry Wilson's struggles throughout his career, the biggest one has been his decision-making. He's just been hesitant. So I think if you aren't looking over your shoulder, worrying about making a mistake because you know that your coach, you know that Vince Merrill's got your back, these guys can play a little bit looser and not so tight, not so scared to make a play. And if that turns into two or three more big plays, that can be all the difference in this game, Drew.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Looking forward to it. Did I mute there for a second?
You did. You smacked your microphone.
I'm still learning here. But, no, I think they see an opportunity to just go out and have a lot of fun. Bowl games, there's not as much pressure. Vince, I'm sure Charles could talk about this much more than me, but he's a player's coach. He's in the locker room having fun with them. I don't know that he's the first one to go to discipline. I think he's more of one of the guys than some of the other coaches might be. So they can see this as an opportunity to go out and just – really let loose in a game that they need to have fun. So I'm excited to see what happens. And I know
I'm sorry, Drew.
I think we talked to Vince right after this show. Nick and I are hopping in a Zoom with Vince. I think, Charles, you should just stay on and maybe you could be a reporter, ask questions today.
Oh, man.
We'll slide the passcode to you to get you in the door.
The reporter from CBI.
Big hey, dog. Charles, be blind.
What would Vince say to you if you were – giving less than 100% effort on a play, what would he say to you on the sideline? How is he going to address players that are not giving the effort that he likes?
I think Vince is smart in that he knows how to talk to each player individually, as in, you know, some coaches, if you're a stern coach, you're a stern coach. If Coach Merrill knows that you respond to that, he'll treat you that way. But if he knows he kind of has to baby your, you know, 22-year-old ass, he can also, you know, with me, Freddie, that never happened because I was always giving more than 110%, okay?
Absolutely.
But, you know, he kind of, you know, knows my – he knows each player's backgrounds because he is the top dog of recruiting. So, you know, whether that be he would bring up your – you know, what would Uncle Joe say right now watching you play this game to some, you know, maybe a player that didn't have a father growing up and Uncle Joe was his father, and that he could bring that up. He had that relationship to where, you know, he could bring someone up, something that maybe touched your life, and you'd be like, okay, yeah, you know, put it that way, I am playing this game because my sister or my brother and Merrill would know that, and he'd bring that person up and say, you think they'd be happy with how you played? No. I think that's one of his gifts in recruiting, and it's kind of funny y'all bring that up because I do think that plays a big part in, you know, confidence and, you know, with Terry being the quarterback. And like you said, hey, if I make a mistake and if it's a, you know, 50-50 ball, that's not really a mistake. But if it's a 50-50 ball, they come down with it and you get your ass chewed out, you're pissed off and don't throw that again. I don't think that'll happen with Merrill there.
Hey, Charles. First of all, let me get this out. I love Vince Merrill, the person, the coach, everything about Vince. One of my favorite Vince moments, and we've had a lot of conversations, and every moment is a beautiful conversation. What was it like in the locker room at Mississippi State when he blistered y'all, and we overheard it on the radio during the Stoops press conference?
Yeah, that was not a good day. Not a good day, and I mean, you've seen the man when there's a coach that's 5'8" and he's yelling at you, yeah, no one really cares. Let's get out of here. when it's Vince Amaro and he's 6'5", you know, a nice 300 pounds, it means something. I'll never forget that speech because we were playing like a bunch of babies.
Oh, babies.
We were several states away, and we won't forget that speech because we could hear it through a wall, through a radio.
Yeah. Vince Merrill would not want to be on his bad side.
No.
Well, and I think to the give a crap, I think this plays into the give a crap meter though, Freddie, because I know NC State, they think they're a top 25 team and all this stuff because they've won four games in a row. But there's really not much to lose in this game. And so I think that maybe not so much in the, like, I think kind of playing with house money where you don't really have expectations can be freeing. I think that's why we see Stoops with a little bit of a pep in his step. And that's why, even though they do some things that I don't like and that could make it for an ugly game, I'm not bothered by it right now. Cause you know what? There's a lot of things that people are much angrier about right now. People aren't going to be mad about Kentucky football if they go out and lose this NC State game. They can pretty much do, I think, it's house money. And so if you go out, play with house money, if Vince goes out there and does something fun and run, like just dials up a trick play or two. I mean, Josh Pascal said it a week ago. He was like, he hasn't done anything yet, but I know he's going to try to make us look a fool. And if I know one thing about Vince Merrill, he is a guy who likes to talk a lot and he likes to back it up. So I think we're, if nothing else, we're going to see this Kentucky football team playing loose and out there to have some fun.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're 100% right. And the give a crap meter advantage will go, in my opinion, goes to Kentucky. You mentioned NC State 1-4 in a row, not counting Liberty. Their opponents were something like 7-25, Georgia Tech, Syracuse. I mean, not really beating him. Florida State was 3-6, Syracuse 1-10, Georgia Tech 3-7. So not a lot to hang your hat on there. The win over Liberty is something that jumps out at me when I analyze the team as a whole. It's hard for me to dislike North Carolina State because of the quarterback, Bailey Hockman. His uncle Ryan was a teammate of mine and a quarterback, and I love Ryan to death, and you know, it's hard for me to pull against his nephew Bailey, but I will on game day. Well, that's another number that jumps out. 12 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Kentucky has picked off 13 passes, leads the SEC. I think turnovers are going to be a humongous factor in this game.
So I need to ask you the question that Lonnie asked Mark Stoops, and I don't think
off mute.
He finally got it off mute, and I think Stoops thought he was speaking Chinese because he said, "Yeah, can you compare the similarities and differences to Bailey and Ryan Hockman?" And I bet you Stoops is like, "Who in the hell is Ryan Hockman?" Because that was exactly what I was thinking at first. He was a quarterback, what, 92 to 94 or something.
Yeah, he came in, I think, in 89 was his true freshman year, which I got to have fun with that situation. That's back when that wasn't frowned upon so much to have freshmen go through some initiation phases. But Ryan is a good friend of mine. Ryan Hockman is a genius, to be quite honest with you, in football-wise and just academics and everything. He's the guy that, you know, when you go to the hotel on Friday nights, and Charles, I don't know if y'all did this, we had to take tests, written tests about the opponent, about our game plan, et cetera. And the quarterback coaches would give us their test at dinner, and we got to take them back to the room. So even as a starter, I went to Ryan's room and copied his answers because I couldn't fill it out myself. That should have been a precursor day. We're probably going to lose this game. That starting quarterback didn't know the game plan or know how to read defenses, but we cheated off Ryan every Friday night. Ryan is a football dude. He's a great quarterback coach, has his own quarterback academy. He's worked with some big time players, but Bailey's a lot like Ryan. He's really, really smart. He makes good decisions. But Bailey has some weapons that Ryan didn't, as far as those receivers and that tight end. I think Bailey Hockman, who originally started out at Florida State, transferred to NC State, I think he's a good quarterback. And you can tell that he is the son of a coach. His dad is the head coach at McEachern there in Atlanta, big time program in Georgia. and you can tell that's the way he plays the game. Same as Ryan. So it's very similar players. I think Bailey has a stronger arm than Ryan, though.
I played Little League against a Brian Hockman. So,
yeah.
I think I beat him most of the time. Different relationship, though.
Yeah.
Not Ken. But NC State, they are what they are. They are the Wolf Pack. There's no S in the Wolves or Wolf Packs. And I actually was trying to look up some more stuff about the Wolfpack, Drew, because, like, you know, I want to know the dumb things about them, because,
yeah,
like, what I know mostly about them is that they had TJ Warren for a long time, and then I'm trying to think of the kid's name now who transferred. He transferred to, like, seven different places. He originally committed to Louisville.
CJ Leslie.
No. He was right after John Wall, because my buddy, when he committed to UofL, told me he was going to be better than John Wall. And he played like a six-year senior.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
Didn't CJ Leslie go there too, or did I dream that?
No, CJ Leslie did go there. It was on the Mark Godfrey teams that cheated their brains off.
I know exactly the player you're trying to bring up. I just don't have the answer.
Yeah, I can't.
Y'all talking basketball.
Yes, exactly. Because NC State is they're like the forgotten Tobacco Road team. They get third tier everything. I mean, they've got a cool mascot from the 80s. He goes by Mr. Wolf. And they actually, I discovered, they brought back a live mascot in 2010.
What?
Yeah, not an actual wolf, though. Wolves do not like crowds. But they got a dog, a Tamaskin, which kind of looks like a wolf. But I've got some bad news about Tuffy. So,
doggy heaven.
This year too, it happened right before the North Carolina game. They lost that game and they won four straight without Tuffy. So they rallied behind Tuffy two, who died of heart disease. They have not gotten a Tuffy three yet, but Tuffy two is a sweet dog, and I was very disappointed to hear that news and saddened, because he's a cute dog and I wanted to post a bunch of pictures on the website, but I would feel terrible doing that now. So,
Drew, I got another question for you.
Okay.
This is of the grammatical nature.
Oh, good luck.
Is the correct writing Wolfpack is or Wolfpack are?
Mm. Ooh, this is great for somebody who's taken English 101 so many times.
That's why I asked Drew.
I'm kind of
is the plural the wolf packs?
Right when I think I have the answer, I talk myself out of it. I might go R.
And this is kind of an inside thing, because I've seen Drew little questions like that. We had a discussion about halves, like first half, second half equals two halves. Is it HALFS or HALVES?
Halves. The Wolfpack, I need to see it in front of me. It's tough on the podcast using my brain.
What were you saying, Nick?
You're an expert writer.
Yeah, I think it's – so I kind of get my brain warped, because English soccer, they use the incorrect form in all of theirs. So, like, yep. They'll say, like, Everton have or goal. And it's like, wait, it's supposed to be has. Or they just don't – they don't use it correctly. And
so it
drives me nuts, but I still think it would be the Wolfpack R, because if I was going to, I don't know. That's tough.
Here's an example.
Okay.
Let's assume other mascots without the S. Would you say the Crimson Tide are or is? Because I think you'd say the Crimson Tide are a good defense. Or would you say
this guy? It's a collective noun, right? The family is going to the store. The Wolfpack.
Chuck, you really throwing us for a loop here. Gosh.
The Stanford Cardinal is or are? Yeah.
I mean, I want to say is, but then when I start to say it, like I'm writing a football story, it doesn't work there.
How about
the Tulane Green Wave is or are? I mean, this is a good question. I don't know.
I mean.
We're stumped.
The Wolfpack done gone get right there. Tails Wolf. How about that?
Right now, people are listening to us wanting a bowl preview, and they know the answer, and they're screaming at their speaker, whichever it is, you idiots. But I don't have the answer. I'm going R.
I'm going to go Iz.
Let's just all get on record. I went R. We have an Iz.
I'm Nick, going R.
Freddie's good. R.
I think I'm going to go R as well.
Good. All right, y'all. Good. Thank you.
I'm like,
that was fun.
You all is all wrong.
Well, Freddie, let me spin a question back on you, even though I didn't have the answer for you. Were you a fan of the NWO Wolfpack?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, they're a wrestling faction.
Oh, I don't do wrestling, but
I was in the Wolfpack.
If you tell me to be a fan of them, Drew, I will be. That's how much respect I have for you.
Well, you know, it's just the old Hollywood Hogan days, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. I thought maybe you watched a little WCW in your day, but apparently not.
No,
so
no.
I'll just go shit at Matt.
The last wrestler that I followed was the Mongolian Stomper.
Both questions backfired. We didn't have an answer. Anyone else have an irrelevant?
Ooh, I finally found an answer to our basketball one, Drew. It was Rodney Purvis, who started at NC State and finished his career at UConn. So there you go. He was better than John Wall, according to my Louisville fan friend.
He's getting NBA checks too.
Is he really?
Oh yeah,
you're paying him to play basketball.
Yep.
In the year of our Lord 2020.
Yep.
That's incredible. Speaking of not NBA basketball, bowl games are happening right now. Not as we speak, but probably as you're listening to this, because from now through January 2nd, we've got a plethora of games on the slate. The Cheez-It Bowl is tonight. It's probably underway already. You've got tomorrow, the Cotton Bowl is, I believe tomorrow is the Cotton Bowl. No, tomorrow Duke's Mayo Bowl is the headliner because mayonnaise takes precedence over cotton. Wisconsin and Wake Forest, which, what a stinker of a game. Freddie, there's one game on here I'm really looking forward to, and I think you are too, and it's the Liberty Bowl between West Virginia and Army.
Oh, yeah. I hate that game. I'm looking forward to that game, but I hate that game. I can't be against Army, nor can I be against Neil Brown, so Lord, I'm looking
Freddie,
forward to it.
I thought of you the moment they announced this game.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I thought about Freddie.
I do not like it at all because of – I love Neil Brown and I obviously love the Army. Golly, I wish Army would have been put against Wake Forest instead of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. It's really going to be, I think, one of the better games too because it's Neil Brown's first bowl, so you know that his team's going to bring it. They haven't been bowling in a couple of years. They can put up some points. And the thing about Army is, like, most folks think of them as, like, oh, they're triple option. They're boring. They hold the ball the whole time. Freddie, in Munkin's three bowl games as a head coach, Army is undefeated, averaging 50 points per game.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't see that option, man, very often, it can get you. I mean, Kentucky saw that against Georgia Tech mm-hmm. with Charles's team. And if you don't see it a lot, I mean, it can really mess with you. And, you know, I thought Munkin would have been a good candidate to Vanderbilt. What folks don't realize, he's not married to that triple option. That's just what you have to do at the academy.
Right.
Because you don't have time nor the athletes to run a traditional offense. So you run that option stuff. And golly, I wish they wouldn't play in each other. That brings me down.
West Virginia is 7-point favorite. And the total's 41. I love Army and the over. Just parlay those two together.
Here we go. If West Virginia wins, Jeff Munkin has to grow his hair out like Neil Brown for a whole year. And if Army wins, Neil Brown has to go a full year with a crew cut. That's my thing.
I can't imagine Neil Brown without the hair.
Can't at all.
Or, like, making him wear a hat instead of a visor. God, that'd be, like, pulling teeth.
He's got swagger.
Yeah, he's doing such a good job there at WVU. I know a lot of folks that are tied in with WVU, and they love him there. And got a little worried this year when some openings came up. But, Neil, I don't think Neil, best of my knowledge, really didn't entertain any of it. I think he really likes it there in Morgantown. That's kind of his type of place, his type of program.
We'll say I do have inside scoop on that. So it was Kentucky ready for the real deal. This is – how old is Coach Stoops? 52?
No.
48?
No, he's probably 53. I think he's a year or so older than me.
All right. So when Neil Brown left Kentucky, I guess it's very ordinary for a coach leaving to give back all of the swag and, you know, all the advisors, et cetera. Supposedly, Neil Brown said, you can keep that stuff here because I'll be back.
Oh.
Now, obviously, Stoops is going to have to. But when he does, I think Neil Brown's obviously has a special place for Kentucky in his heart. But those are some pretty trying words. You can keep that because I'll be back for it.
Oh, man. I love that, Charles.
I mean, that's pretty nice right there.
That's the great. That's like Adolph Rupp getting the car versus Bear Bryant getting the watch kind of thing. You know, we're like, oh, Neil Brown, that's what he said when he left. So every time a coaching search comes up, that can happen. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. That is something we will not soon forget. In a non Neil Brown game, I'm very disappointed that the Outback Bowl will be being played at the same time as the Gator Bowl, because I think Ole Miss Indiana could be the most fun bowl game we have in the entire season.
Can I confess that I've kind of become an Ole Miss fan this year?
It's fine. I think sure, a lot of us have. Because
I'm not like a fan. I'm not really rooting for them, but I have found Lane Kiffin in that offense to be very entertaining this year. And like you, I'm a little bummed I won't get to actually watch the game live, because they've been a blast on and off the field. On the field and on Twitter, Ole Miss has been entertaining this year.
I like how they're anti-Alabama. Mm-hmm. You know, have y'all ever noticed when coaches are interviewed at the hotel, they whisper for some reason? Every time they show Nick Saban, like at a hotel before a game, well, you know, we got to come out. It's the process and all that. Then Kiffin comes bouncing off the bus with a Ole Miss baseball jersey on, hoodie over top of a hoodie and a hat backwards or something like that. And just, I mean, it's just his personality. I love it when colleges take on the personality of their football coach. And I think Ole Miss has done that. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
Well, and Freddie, it was kind of like when the Egg Bowl coaches got hired and we were like, man, this Mike Leach at Mississippi State, that square peg, round hole kind of stuff. Whereas like Leach at Ole Miss, Kiffin at Ole Miss feels like a match made in heaven. You've got a big kid with the Rebels who just are they are the fun loving. We're having a good time, kind of good. They're good time Charlies.
Yeah, yeah. If you translate that over to the NFL, you know, I'm a lifelong Steelers fan, but I tell you what, I love watching Buffalo play because I love watching Josh Allen play, and that team has fun. I mean, they're young. They have fun. They act like they enjoy each other. They act like they enjoy playing the game. And I think that's what we see with Ole Miss.
Did Freddie just say we can put him through a table? Is he Bill's Mafia?
Yes. Yeah. Throw me through a table. Yeah.
Actually, yeah. After the way me and you walked out of the Kroger game of the week one time, I don't think we didn't need to be going through tables.
Oh, my God. I needed a wheelchair to get up that hill. It was awful. And then Drew was walking around like he had a railroad spike through his spine. So it was a pretty tough night.
Y'all got any other bowl games coming up that you in particular have your eye on?
I mean, this is down the line, but Alabama is going to cover against Notre Dame. So just go ahead and get your investment in now.
Yeah, that's not – wait, like Kentucky plays after that.
I'll be honest with you, Nick.
It's Friday. It's right around the corner. That's Friday.
My world is upside down right now. I thought that was after UK's game.
That playoff selection show and that whole deal soured me so much on the Nationals perspective. I couldn't tell you who's playing in bowl games other than I know Florida's playing. I think Oklahoma and Georgia is going to get beat by Cincinnati.
See,
Cincinnati. That's about all I know because, I mean, I got soured on it. That really turned me off so much for college football on a national scale. I mean, I don't know why it just did, and you know, it was just too much for me. I just couldn't do it, man.
See, Freddie, that you keep saying that because it does. Like that game is set up like that Auburn UCF game from a few years back when UCF won the national championship. But I do think Georgia like has an offense now, and they kind of, I think they want a springboard to like say that, hey, we can be title contenders next year. So I don't think they're going to roll over like dogs like Auburn did previously. But you know, I still think that could end up being a decent game. Arkansas, TCU. I mean, TCU is about as boring as they come, but Arkansas, they find a way to play in some crazy games. That could be fun. You know, and help just to have football on all the time, because this is, I don't want to have this conversation with this folks, but remember like a few months ago when we didn't have any sports and then all of a sudden it was just sports nonstop. Well, it's going to start like slowing down here soon. We're not going to have football, the gift of football. And so I just hope we can enjoy it while we can, because it's week 17. You're only going to have a month of NFL after this. And then it's like, this is the last week of red zone.
When does that Korean baseball come back on?
Did it ever stop?
I don't know.
You know, I was very excited about the fall and how every sport would be going at once. I had visions of like four TVs with NBA and NFL and the Masters. And then I learned that I only want to watch football when football is on. I found that I would rather watch a college game between two teams I don't care about than some of the other, you know, bigger games, some of the NBA playoffs games that were going on. So you're right. I it's going to be sad when these are gone. We'll still have basketball in Kentucky. We may not want basketball here pretty soon, but I think we are going to miss football after we almost lost it for a fall.
Are we really going to go past Lane Kiffin without bringing up Joey Freshwater or Jimmy?
That's go for it.
Well, which one's better, Joey Freshwater or Jimmy Chestnut? Freddie's going to say, what the hell are you talking about?
What are you talking about, Charles?
I haven't heard the Jimmy Chestnut one. He had a really bad made-up story for the Joey Freshwater one, though.
All I heard is, Freddie, that after games, Lane Kiffin would maybe be just strolling around old Tuscaloosa going by the alias Joey Freshwater. Now, someone asked him about it, and he said, I've gone by Jimmy Chestnut, but I've never gone by Joey Freshwater or something like that.
Yeah, he admitted that he does it, but said it wasn't Joey Freshwater, it's Jimmy Chestnut.
That's okay.
So what's the better name?
There we go. There's my question. What would
Jimmy
be
Chestnut is much more believable, but Joey Freshwater definitely, like, that's a Key West kind of name.
Yeah, I'm going with Joey Freshwater. Jimmy, what is it, Jimmy or Joey?
Joey Freshwater.
Yeah, Joey Freshwater. What would be your made-up name, Drew?
Oh.
That's a good question. I respect Joey Freshwater. I don't think it would work for me, but I think Kiffin with a visor and some long blonde hair over it down in Mississippi, Joey Freshwater's great.
I feel like I could easily pass as a Dale.
No, I get big Dale vibes from you.
Yeah, like...
Oh, you're too tall to be a Dale, I feel like.
Yeah, but Dales are big guys, you know, like big doofy kind of guys. No offense to all you Dales out there, but I think I could pass as a Dale or an Ed, you know.
I see both.
Yeah.
Or Eddie.
It's just I can't have a very like handsome name, you know. The hair just isn't there. So you got to have a bald guy name.
Oh, don't you sell yourself short. You can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah, you can. You can be Joey Freshwater if you want.
Yeah. I'm going to call you Dale Freshwater.
Dale
Freshwater.
He's Dale Saltwater. We got to give him a right.
Dale Saltwater.
I can see that one now.
That's the name of this podcast. When you Dale Saltwater previews the bowl game.
Oh, man.
How did we get here?
I don't know, but it is exciting, though.
We're like the team. We're laughing and having fun again.
No, we are. And the team, though, it is a little bit different. It's more like a road game this year. I don't think they're going to be going down until Thursday.
Every game's been a road game. Shit. There's 1,000 fans in the stands.
That's true.
Anything when you're 19 years old. It's like, I get to go on a plane. That's great. It's not.
Oh, and you're not going to have to wear sleeves down there? Whew.
Well, I never wore sleeves. We don't have to get into this. There's unwritten rules in college football, and that was one of them.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, it's exciting to play in some warm weather. I know Stoops, we can be honest here too. Stoops got spoiled by his times at Arizona and Miami. Like the Youngstown in him, he's still Youngstown tough, and I'm not going to mess with that guy. But dude is he doesn't like the cold weather.
No, he doesn't. I remember that's a bad option there.
Yeah, Nick. I'm not like trying to say like he's not Youngstown tough
easy there, Saltwater. Calm down. You just got the nickname.
Easy there, Dale Saltwater.
I used to give him trash because it'd be about 40 degrees out, you know, 30 cold. And I still would question, I would ask him, are we practicing inside because of you or because of all of our Florida boys? And he'd always use them as a scapegoat, you know, like you sissies won't play outside. And then that would be the, all right, well, we're going to go, second part of practice is outside now. And then everyone would blame me for it. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's raining. Falls in the rain. We're going outside.
Freddie, what was it like practicing inside all the time? That should have been fun back in the day.
Yeah. Well, I think we did it maybe twice. And when we practice inside, that meant we had to put on our weightlifting shoes and we practice at the Seton Center.
Oh man. That floor too. If you fell on that Seton Center floor, it's not hardwood. It's like hard concrete that
you were going down. Wood. Yeah. You were getting put on the ground though. So even though we went to the Seton Center, didn't mean practice was going to lighten up at all. So yeah, it was pretty brutal. We rarely went outside.
Oh man.
Inside rather.
Right. Probably a little dangerous, but Kentucky's going to be outside playing the NC State Wolfpack. And the one person we haven't mentioned enough, I don't even think we've mentioned him at all throughout this podcast, is Chris Rodriguez. The dude is a hoss. I think Pro Football Focus had him as a second team All-American. He hasn't gotten his carries. I think he's going to get his carries. And even though they're going to be selling out to try to stop that, it still is this big blue wall, they're talented offensive line. They've got one last hurrah. I think they're going to put on a good show in their final game and give Rodriguez plenty of rushing lanes to go through to make sure that this game doesn't get out of hand by any means and that Kentucky can be in there to win it at the end.
I think you're right, Nick. And I think, we've done all these podcasts and I sound like a broken record, but the fact that Terry Wilson had four fewer carries than Chris Rodriguez is and was probably a fireable offense, in my opinion. I mean, how does that happen when you're averaging 7 yards a carry and only carrying the football 12 times per game? It makes no sense to me. Now, since this is A.J. Rose's last game, we'll probably see a more balanced look. But, you know, I will say this, with those really, really aggressive run fits in the 3-3-5 from the linebackers, there are going to be tackles for loss, and those two running backs are going to be aggravated at the line of scrimmage. There are going to be negative or no game plays. And just like turnovers are going to be a big factor, it's how Kentucky plays in third and five plus. You can break the game down into those scenarios, third and five plus for Kentucky. A high percentage of conversions, Kentucky wins the football game. What it's done for 10 games in those situations, North Carolina State will win the football game.
Ready for predictions then?
Charles, hit me.
I'm going to say we're down 14 to 10 at half, and we win 24-21.
Knockdown, drag him out, eh? Who's your MVP?
Chris Rodriguez.
That's why I wanted to go first.
Does anybody have any predictions out here? Even though, like, we've really never had any predictions. Chuck's just got this feeling that Rodriguez is going to go off and Kentucky to win the game.
I like this prediction.
Yeah, I like that prediction, too. And you know what? To make sure that we end on a high note, why don't we just end it with Charles's prediction? Because that sounds like a pretty good prediction to me.
I'm good with it.
Kentucky's going to slay some taxes, and they're going to chomp on some gators. Drew, did we order any gators for the week? I feel like it's not really a thing. Like, I don't know if it's in season.
We're not. We got some wolf.
Yeah. Oh.
We're going to do wolf mozzarella sticks.
There we go.
Well, I'm ready for you. Probably shouldn't say that. Is that a bad thing? Is PETA going to call me?
Yeah.
Just a joke, just a mascot joke. Old mascot humor.
Yeah.
The Wolfpack are good to eat when grilled over a barbecue. Or is it the Wolfpack is a good meal when cooked over a barbecue?
The Wolfpack are going to hold this L on Saturday.
Oh, there we go. And that's how we're going to end this. We appreciate y'all listening to the KSR Footballs podcast Bowl Bonanza. For me, Dale Saltwater, that's Drew Franklin, Charles Walker, and Freddie Mayer. Special thanks to UK Federal Credit Union. And get excited. The Cats are going bowling Saturday. Let's kick the Wolfpack's ass. Woo! There is ass. R. The Wolfpack is
there.
R.
There's, I don't know. We'll see y'all. Go Cats.
Peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.